You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
We've got a lot to get into tonight. Obviously, I'm going to keep you up to speed in regard to what's going on with the Mets and the Yankees, but NBA playoffs start tomorrow. So, of course, I booked Amin Alhassan for the show, one of my favorite humans on the planet. Amin, it has been a hot second. How are you doing, my friend?
I know, Anita. I began to think maybe I pissed you off somewhere.
What do you mean?
Glad to see that we're still friends. It's been a while.
It has. It's been a hot second. I'm thrilled to have you on the show. Let's dive into it. As we all know, you know, as much as LeBron James thinks that the dude who created this whole play-in system should get fired, well, once you know it, he's a part of it. But let's start with what's going on tomorrow. So first and foremost, let's start with what's going on with the Hornets and the Pacers. Listen, LaMelo Ball has really impressed me this season, big time. I mean, he's been a big straw that stirs that drink for the Hornets. Meanwhile, the Pacers, they're dealing with a lot of injuries. Sabonis has got a quad issue, Miles Turner with a toe, Brogdon with a hamstring. I like the Hornets, and I like the Hornets getting 3.5 tomorrow. Tip-off is at 6:30. Break down this game first. Who do you like in this matchup, Amin?
Yeah, Anita, beyond the Pacers' injury issues, this is a team that is very fragmented. They're not together pretty much anymore. There's a lot of speculation surrounding head coach Nick Bjorken that he may not last beyond this season as far as his job security, even though this was his first season as a head coach in Indiana. And to be honest with you, I don't have a whole lot of confidence that Indiana's going to come out with a lot of fire. Meanwhile, the Charlotte Hornets, I mean, they're an 8 seed, in this 9-10 bracket. But the reality is, before LaMelo got hurt, this was a top 4 team in the Eastern Conference. So for me, I look at them and say, they're kind of not as bad as their seeding and their record would indicate. I, too, have a lot of confidence that the Hornets are going to take care of business.
I'm with you. I'll be honest with you. I'm a little surprised that the Pacers are favored by so much. You know, I might even consider, let me ask you this, would you consider taking the Hornets on the money line, just winning straight up at plus 130? I might do that.
Yeah, no, that's how confident I am. They're going to win this game. I just, between the injuries that Indiana's dealing with, the level of play, they've been very lackluster down the stretch. And again, all the reporting from the people in the know is that this is a fractured locker room. This is a team that really has not responded to Coach Bjorken at all. Even the coaching staff, you know, there were reports that he's been kind of hard on his own coaches who haven't necessarily responded positively to his leadership style. So, yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet to go Charlotte straight up.
I love it. Okay, a little bit later on in the evening, you've got the Wizards going up against the Celtics, and my heart goes out to the Celtics. I mean, listen, if you do watch Daily Wager, hopefully you do, because, you know, I watch all the programs you're on, boo. But, you know, since they lost Jaylen Brown, obviously not the same team. Even though the Celtics took 2 of 3 in the series in the regular season, this is a much different team right now. And let's be honest, Westbrook is just otherworldly. So, again, I'm surprised Boston is favored here. I get that they're favored because they're hosting. They're the home team. But again, I like the dog in this matchup. I like the Wizards with the combination. I know Beal is dealing with a hamstring issue, but I like the Wizards here getting the points, and then you can get them on the money line at plus 108.
Yeah, and I think one of the important things to recognize about the Wizards, again, this is a team that its record doesn't exactly – you know, characterize what kind of team this is. They were really bad at one stretch in the season because everybody was either hurt or COVID protocol. There was a point where they literally signed people off the street to come start in a game. Jordan Bell and Alex Len were literally just picked up off of not doing much, just hanging out at home. And, hey, you want to play basketball? You want to start for us? And they went and they walked in and they started that same night. So The team that we're seeing right now is much improved. Beal, obviously, had a great season. Russell Westbrook, triple-double machine. And then the big secret that a lot of people have been talking about, the acquisition of Daniel Gafford. They got him from Chicago. He's been huge for them in the middle as a defensive player, as a rebounder. And so I like the Wizards a lot. And by the way, as if they didn't have enough motivation, Anita, guess who they play in the first round if they win this 7-8 matchup? They get matched up with the Brooklyn Nets. Yep, and you got Westbrook versus Durant, Westbrook versus Harden, all types of bad blood there. So you know he's got some extra on the line here.
I love it. I love it. You're absolutely right. Before we dive into that next level of, you know, where we get into the postseason, let's look forward to Wednesday's matchup. And you've got the Spurs going up against the Grizzlies. This is kind of like Groundhog Day for the Grizzlies because, as we know, last year they lost to Portland in this same situation. They are favored by 4. This is where I went with the dogs the first 2 days on Tuesday. I'm going with the Grizzlies minus 4. Ja Morant, has been really unbelievable. And the Spurs, let's be honest, they're in this rebuilding mode. I just don't think they're going to have enough to stop them. So I like the Grizzlies here. Break down this matchup for us.
Yeah, the Spurs really moonwalked their way into this. If it weren't for how atrocious the Pelicans and the Kings have been down the stretch, San Antonio probably shouldn't be here. Between them and Indiana, the most lackluster team in the play-in tournament. Memphis, again, a team that had COVID issues early, a team that didn't have Jaren Jackson Jr. for, most of the season. He missed about 60 games. So this is a team that's up and coming. It's young, it's athletic. And most importantly, as you said, they've been there before. They have the kind of experience of having been in that do-or-die situation last year. So there is a little bit of institutional knowledge that they're bringing to the table.
All right. So we both have – I love – this is kind of frightening because we didn't talk before you coming on the show. We're 3-0 right now. We're 3-for-3 in regard to how we're playing these play-in games. But last but not least, the game that everybody is really, I think, is going to be – this is going to be a spectacular game. I mean, let's be honest. Amin Elhassan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. That's the Lakers going up against the Warriors. Why? Steph Curry has been otherworldly. 44 points his last game. This is arguably one of his best seasons without a phenomenal supporting cast. Meanwhile, you've got LeBron James retweaking that ankle. But here's the thing. When you look at the statistics and in what this Lakers defense has been able to do against Curry against the Lakers, he only averages 23 points. He only shoots 42%. And 34% from downtown. It's this Lakers defense that has me really hesitant here to be on the Warriors side. I hate to say it, but I'm going with the Lakers. As much as I like cheering for Steph Curry and this Golden State Warriors team, I think the Lakers win this one. What do you think, Amin?
Yeah, I think when you hear LeBron voice displeasure with the play-in tournament, it's specifically because this matchup was probably on his mind. Because you're right, the Lakers, by the way, for me, if LeBron and AD are on the floor, they're the favorites to win the championship, bar none, as they're out there. But in a one-game scenario, there is an imminent threat that Steph Curry could just go supernova. And we've all seen it happen. And we've seen it happen against great teams and bad teams alike. Sometimes he gets in that zone, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I'm reminded of the game towards the end of the season where he's on a three-point line. He gets fouled. The guy's holding his right arm, his shooting arm. So Steph puts it up with his left hand from three, drains it, and the foul. That's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with something that it just isn't fair in reality. And in a one-game scenario, no matter how outmatched the Warriors are, I still give them a chance of pulling off the upset just because Steph Curry.
I hear you. And again, I love Steph Curry. I love the season that he's having. Heck, if I had a vote, I'd vote him for MVP. He's been otherworldly. I just am very interested. So this is the one game that we differ. Interesting. Again, Amin El-Hassan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. All right. So with that being said, let's start in the East. Let's go beyond the play-in scenarios, right? Let's start in the East. Obviously, the 76ers and the Nets and the Bucks are the three teams that a lot of people feel in the East are going to advance and represent the East in the championship. Okay. I've got the Nets. I know that the big three have only played together eight or nine games. Regardless, it's still such a small sample size, but you've got a lot of big twos in the NBA. This is the one select team that's got the big three. So I'm curious, who are you eyeing to come out of the East, Amin?
Oh, it's a tough one, Amin. I think it's wide open. I don't really have supreme confidence in any of these teams to say, oh, yeah, they're going to get it done. They all come with their share of flaws and kind of shortcomings. And by the way, I'd add a fourth team to that mix. I put the Miami Heat right there. Again, another example of our record and our seeding is not representative of how good we are as a team. And so, you know, it's really a toss-up. I guess the team that has the easiest path would be Philadelphia because they're going to get, probably an easy opponent out of the eighth seed. And then they go to the second round and they play the winner of Knicks versus Hawks. Both teams are fairly inexperienced. So, you know, they've got an upper hand there. And then you get to wait for the team that has to bash its brains out into the conference semifinals, whether it's Brooklyn, whether it's Miami, whether it's Milwaukee. Whichever one of those three teams makes it out of the conference semis will have done it after a pretty hard series. So Philly has the easiest job. I guess I'll go with Philly, but I don't think they're the best team in the East.
But what you're saying is you think the road that they get to travel will be obviously a lot easier than the Nets. Taking on, we're both anticipating that they're going to take on Washington their first round. The Bucks might have a lengthy series against Miami. Okay, so let's just. I'm anticipating the Knicks to win the series against the Hawks. Okay, I love this Knicks team, and as you know, I live here in the tri-state area. I've talked about this team hosting Sports Talk Radio here at nauseam. But it's a team that you can really feel good about getting behind. Even if you're not a Knicks fan, if you're just an NBA fan, everything that this game that this team represents is really fun to get behind. I guess my question to you is, A, do you anticipate them to advance over Atlanta? And how far do you think they can take the 76ers?
I do think they're going to beat Atlanta. I think both of these teams are coming to the party with people who have never been to the rodeo before, meaning young players who have no playoff experience, whether it's Julius Randle and Elfrid Payton and Quickly and all these guys on this side or on the other side, Trae Young and Hunter and Collins and all those guys. Both teams have a couple of vets to lean on. Atlanta's got Lou Williams, Danilo Gallinari, and Clint Capella. But this is where I think the difference is. The Knicks have Derrick Rose. And I know he's not MVP Derrick Rose, but he's a guy who's had playoff success in the past, deep in the playoffs, him and Taj Gibson. And those guys are vocal leaders on their teams. And I think when you talk about a young team in a playoff situation, you're talking about the ability to navigate the ups and downs of a seven-game series, to adjust intensity, to not get too high off your win and not too low after a loss. And I just don't see that same kind of vocal leadership from guys who are hands-on with the Atlanta Hawks, right? Danilo Gallinari is not getting the ball and bringing the ball up the court. Clint Capella is not barking at guys and letting them know that whatever they're doing on defense isn't good enough and they need to get better. Those are things that both Derrick Rose and Taj Gibson, respectively, can and will do. And I think that's going to be the difference in this series. As far as how well they're doing against the Sixers, I ain't gonna lie to you. I think they'll get demolished. And that's all right, because this season is already a massive success if you're a Knicks fan. You shouldn't get too hung up on a second-round knockout.
Amin El-Hassan joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before I let you go, let's take a look at what's going on in the West. The Jazz my heart goes out to them, right? Like, they get the number one seed, but there's a chance, more than likely, they're either going to play, they're either going to take on the Lakers or Golden State, which both teams, obviously, that's going to be a really, really tough round one for the Utah Jazz. And then, of course, you know, you've got the Suns, Denver, Portland, and I like the Clippers. I know that Stephen A. Smith went off on the Clippers for losing their last two games to try to avoid taking on the Lakers early in the postseason. But talk us through the West. How do you think the West is going to play out, my friend?
Well, I think Utah and Phoenix have to be like, they have to hate the play-in tournament more than LeBron does, right? It's just like, I fight all year long to have one of the best records in the league.
Right.
And my reward is I either play the defending champs or the guy who is a walking supernova.
Oh, like, my heart goes out to them.
Sense. Anita, I keep going back to this. That's why we need to let the high seeds pick their opponents. They've done that in the D-League in the past. I really like that format because it allows for teams to account for, hey, I know they're the 8 seed, but they're not a real 8 seed. Like, let me take some of these easier ones. Let me pick on the Dallas Mavericks, for instance. So that's something that I think is going to be unfortunate for those two teams. I'm going to say it right now. Whoever the Lakers play, they're going to win. Lakers are going to win that matchup. So I guess if you're the Suns, you're rooting for the Warriors to win. And if you're the Jazz, you're rooting for the Lakers to win that play-in tournament. The interesting matchup for me is the Denver-Portland series, because these are two teams, division rivals. Obviously, they played a couple of nights ago, and Denver kind of laid down, I guess, so Portland could get that 6 seed. This is going to be interesting because Portland is an offensive juggernaut, but defensively, they're one of the worst teams in NBA history on the defensive end of the floor. So it'll be interesting to see what wins out there between two really high-octane offenses.
Yeah, needless to say, you've got the MVP, right? Along with his, yeah. I call it Batman and Robin, right? With Michael Porter on his side. So who do you see coming out of the West to represent the West and try to win the championship? Lakers, right? We're in agreement there?
Lakers. As long as LeBron and Anthony Davis are healthy, as long as they're on the floor, I'm assuming if they're on the floor, they're healthy enough to play. As long as that's the case, they've been my championship favorite the whole time.
People
forget because they got hurt. But before they got hurt, this team was cruising. They were going at like 65% speed, and they had like the second best record in the league doing that. And they're a juggernaut, and I just don't think anyone matches up well with them if they're out there on the floor.
So last thing before I let you go, again, LeBron tweaked, quote unquote, his ankle. No concerns there? Like, what are you hearing? Is it not serious? What are your expectations for LeBron and how healthy he's going to be coming in?
That's why I keep saying, if he's on the floor, Anita. Because if he's not, that's a completely different conversation. And that's
right.
The only thing I can go, the only way I can go off of this is he on the floor? If he's on the floor, I don't care what he did to his ankle. He's going to play, he's going to play well, and they're going to win.
I mean, I miss you, my friend. You're so awesome. Thanks for spending a lot of time with us on this evening. I so appreciate you. Enjoy the week. It's going to be a fun one, and it's always great to hear your voice.
Absolutely. Again. Same thing, Anita. Thanks. I think it's going to be a 7-game series. I like the young talent that they got in Atlanta. I love Nate McMillan, the fact that he's in Atlanta, because I didn't like him in Indianapolis. I didn't think that was the right place for him. I love the fact that he's in Atlanta doing his thing. Proud of him. But they're going down, man. They're going down. Knicks stand up. That's what this is going to be. They got home court advantage. They're going to struggle a little bit in the ATL, no question about it. But in the end, I think it'll be a 7-game series. I can see each team defending its home court. It comes down to Game 7 at Madison Square Garden. Knicks close the deal, advance to the second round against the Philadelphia 76ers. That's what I see.
That is Stephen A. Smith. And you can hear him with Alan Hahn. With all due respect, Stephen A., I disagree. I don't believe that this is going to go the distance. Keep in mind, the Knicks 3-0 against Atlanta this season. Obviously, as we know, the Knicks have the 4th seed, which means they have home court advantage. Julius Randle, last time he faced Atlanta, he put up 40 points. As we know, in consideration for Comeback Player of the Year. And from downtown shooting 40% on top of that. And I don't think enough, and I love that Amin El-Hassan touched on it. I don't think enough is being discussed about Derrick Rose coming off of the bench, averaging 15 points a game off the bench, and his veteran savvy leadership and what it means, especially heading into the postseason. So I love the Derrick Rose addition from the trade, RJ Barrett, Reggie Bullock. I've been making a ton of money with the over in points with Reggie Bullock all season long. Let's be honest, one of the best defenses in the NBA. You can argue top three, top five, and as we know, come on, Thibodeau's going to win Coach of the Year. So game one, Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern time, the Knicks are favored by 2.5, and you can get that at minus 109. Here's the thing. Money line is minus 134. Hashtag run, don't walk. Jump all over this. Jump all over this. This is probably one of my favorite lines that's out there right now. 800-919-3776. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to Alejandro in Tampa. Alejandro, welcome in to 98.7 ESPN. Good evening.
Hello, Anita.
Hi.
Hi. Pleasure to be first time, long time listening to you for many years. First time I've been on. And I love your insight on Nick, so I just wanted to give you my insight and a couple of quick questions. So number one, most improved player, Julius Randle. That's my first point. And if you can agree or disagree. Number two, Tom Thibodeau, Coach of the Year. And number three, my question is, I love the fact that we're playing old school Knicks ball. Like, no load management. I don't agree with it. I happen to coach and do that stuff. I don't believe in having a guy play part-time, which is basically like baseball where you have guys throwing three innings. I love the fact that he's pushing these guys, Julius Randle, Garrett, Barron, these guys that play 40 minutes. And everyone's like, no, we cannot have these gentlemen playing these minutes. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. So those are my three questions for you in terms of the load management of his players, most improved player, most improved coach of the year. And I believe in this team. I feel we can win the first round.
Absolutely. And Alejandro, thank you so much for calling in from Tampa. Really do appreciate you. You know, and again, I'm filling in tonight for Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer. I'm typically on over the weekend, so I'm sure that there's a new listening audience. So I don't mean to repeat myself, but I've been saying this. Realistic expectations. Did you expect the Knicks to make it into the postseason? I would imagine that 99.9% of you would say no. Point two. If you at all imagine them trying to make it in the postseason, wouldn't you consider that maybe they would make it into the postseason as a play-in, as part of this play-in scenario? I mean, can we just marinate in this for a minute, that the Lakers are a part of the play-in tournament scenario and the Knicks are not? Can we marinate in that for a minute? Please. I mean, really? So not only have they made it to the postseason, not having to compete in a play-in scenario, but they are the fourth seed hosting the first round of the playoffs. Like, and I'm not drinking the orange and blue Kool-Aid. That's not what this is about. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that the Knicks are going to win the series. And I know we just heard from Stephen A. Smith when we came in. I don't even think it's going to take seven. I don't. And I don't walk around with Knicks garb. I'm not sitting here. I'm not like, you know, Dave Rothenberg when it comes to his sports teams. That's not who I am. I'm all about winning money. If you know anything about me, I root for teams that are going to help me win money. Julius Randle, by the way, has been helping me win money all season long with his double-doubles, on occasion, triple-doubles. But nonetheless, like, hypothetically speaking, even if the Knicks lose to Atlanta, this season has been exponentially, like, above and beyond anyone's imagination. So it's just, it's a fun team to get behind. It's a fun team to root for. And again, I believe that they are going to beat Atlanta. And again, we just had Amin Alhassan on. I mean, can they get past the 76ers? Because that's kind of what we're envisioning here, right? The 76ers winning their first round matchup, whether it's the Celtics or the Hornets, whoever it might be. Probably not. But still, I think it says a lot about this organization. I think it says a lot about this roster. I think it says a lot about the new head coach, Thibodeau, who's now taken over. And it's really a fun time.
What are the next moves? Like, let's even say they get by the Hawks. Phenomenal season.
Oh, my God, yes.
But what typically happens in New York is, all right, like, how do we sustain that next year? Or how do we surpass that? What decisions do you make on guys like Derrick Rose? Some of your pending free agents, do you bring some guys back? Do you release cap space? Do you try to go get more guys?
Absolutely.
I mean, you do, but there's a lot of moving parts, especially when the bar has been set. Like, you didn't come in just as a 9 or 10. You're the 4th seed.
Yep.
I don't care if it, Miami deals with their issues, whatever. You're the 4th seed in the Eastern Conference right now, heading into the playoffs. That sets a pretty high bar for Tibbs and company next year to reach that mark again.
That's Jay Will. He's absolutely right. I had Ian Begley on my show over the weekend, and we talked about one step for, like, bigger picture, right? Like, what does this season mean for the Knicks, especially in free agency? How many years have I been hosting Sports Talk Radio here on this station and Knicks fans calling in saying, hey, listen, why don't these big name free agents want to come here? For a number of reasons, a plethora of reasons, but those are slowly diminishing, especially after the season. So you got to feel good about it. Really quick, before we get back to your calls, just want to get you up to speed on some Major League Baseball scores. Rangers up on the Yankees 5-2. And that's the bottom of the eighth, and the Mets, they take care of the Braves 3-1. If you watched me on Daily Wager earlier today, our show was on from 4:30 to 5:30. So Brian, by the way, Brian and Michael are producing the show back in New York. So Brian, you'll, I know you and I were planning on recording an interview or two for the show tonight. And I said that I had a cutoff time because I thought I was on Daily Wager at 6. Our show was moved up to 4:30.
Oh, wow.
but nobody told me. So I got a text message at 4:01 saying, hey, you know, our show's at 4:30 today. Okay.
Oh no.
Okay. So understand something. Like, I know you dudes could just, like, jump in the shower and, like, be ready to walk out your door in 5 minutes. That's not what happens for us, ladies. So now I'm like, what am I, like, I haven't even, like, what am I supposed to do? I can't even, there's not even enough time for me to do my hair or my makeup. So anyway, I slicked my hair back today for the show, and I did the show, which was nice. But anyway, I just share that story with you just to say I was scrambling. It was a hot mess afternoon. The show was 90 minutes on prior to what I expected. My best bet, I had to prepare for my best bet while we're doing the show from 4:30 to 5:30. And I came up with the Chicago White Sox on the money line at plus 101. You know what the score is right now? 16-4.
Whoa, God.
16-4, boo. 16-4.
Wow.
How about that?
Look at that. I need to get a new pair of shoes.
Oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I am. Oh, yes, I am, sir. Anyway, 800-919-3776. Let's get to your calls. Let's go to Emmanuel. Emmanuel, I told you you'll be first up. Sure enough, you are. Welcome in. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, thank you. What about you?
It was a crazy afternoon. I had 29 minutes to get ready to be on television, and here I am on radio tonight, filling in for Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer. It's all great. Emmanuel, I'm blessed. So you duck and weave, and you make the most out of it.
Yeah. Speaking of back, as the Knicks are back, finally, first time in like in 8 years since we last made the postseason. But and I think at the end of the day, I think personally, I think it's a redemption. I felt this year was a redemption after everything this franchise has been through in the last 8 years, especially those 2 years in which they didn't get their way with the through free agency with Katie and Kyrie. And now this year with Tibbs doing his thing, and then of course Derrick Rose reinvent himself. And I felt it was a redemption for Derrick Rose because of after what he'd been through the last 10 years since winning the MVP, and now you have this, Knicks team, this blue collar, that kind of remind me in some respect of the Detroit Pistons teams, not the 04 ones, but not the 04 Pistons, but the 2002 Pistons team that they had Ben Wallace, Jerry Stackhouse, a team that won 20 games better than the previous year, and they went all the way to the second round.
Yeah, I can't argue with you. I said this, Brian. I think were you hosting with me? I think you were producing with me, not hosting with me, but you were producing me on Friday. And there was some talk and some speculation that the Bucks were going to lay down because they didn't want to play Miami. Okay, I understand. You don't want to play Miami. Again, we just had Amin El-Hassan on. He said that he's going to give Miami a shot to upset the Bucks. I'm sitting back and going, who wants to play the Knicks? I wouldn't want to play the Knicks either. Their defense is off the charts. Again, top three, top five in the NBA. Shot selection has been really fantastic since maybe 2 or 3 weeks after the All-Star game. Randall's 40% from downtown. RJ Barrett is averaging 4-5 three-pointers a game. I posed the question out there, like, am I becoming like this insane Knicks fan that I think that there's an actual possibility that they could upset the Bucks? But obviously now we know that the Bucks are going to take on Miami, the Knicks are going to take on Atlanta. It ended up being what it was, but I was questioning the motivation for, okay, who would you rather face, Miami or the Knicks? I just think that the way that this Knicks team has been playing has really been sensational. And not to take anything away from Miami, but I guess it's a matter of pick your poison. Right? I guess it's a matter of pick your poison. Justice, Chris, John, hang tight. I see you guys. You guys will be first up. We'll get to your calls when we get back. Also, we've got Tyler Fulgham, my partner in crime on Daily Wager, who's going to be joining us at the top of the hour. He's going to get some picks and some plays for us heading into tomorrow night. If you can hear it in my voice, Brian, who am I? I'm so stoked. I'm so pumped for the NBA postseason. I mean, is this... This is a new Anita for you, isn't it?
Oh, it is a new Anita.
Oof. You know,
I'm not used to this.
You know what this is? This is Anita who's making a lot of money off the NBA.
That's what it is.
Exactly. That's what this is.
The season continues on, so it's important to, you know, appreciate the effort and the work that has gone into it thus far, but to also understand that the challenge continues and there's an intensity level to the playoffs that is much different than the regular season. So we have to prepare ourselves for that as well.
That is Mr. Tibbs. the Knicks will play Saturday at 6:00 Eastern time. They were favored by 2.5, and you can jump on that line right now at -109 or get them on the money line at -134. I am all over it. 800-919-3776. What say you? Let's go to Chris in Plainfield. Chris, welcome in. Good evening.
How you doing?
Good evening.
I just wanted to ask you a question about the Knicks. You know, they're the top of the town right now. And so about Kevin Durant, you know, he obviously chose to go to the Nets over the Knicks. And I've always felt like I've always got a vibe from KD that he kind of likes attention, that he wants to be that guy. And I think part of the reason why he chose to go to the Nets is because he wanted to go to a franchise that he can kind of break to the promised land and get a championship for, as opposed to the Knicks, who have always been the team in New York. And I want to know, what do you think of, about how he feels knowing that he went to the Nets, and although they have James Harden and Kyrie Irving, the Knicks still seem to be the team that's getting all the talk right now, and if you think that's affecting him in any way, or if you think it's bothering him at all?
It's a great topic of conversation. You know, I don't know what motivates. I don't know what stimulates. I don't know how the KD brain operates. I don't know. You know, listen, when KD decided to go to the Nets as opposed to the Knicks, there was a lot of talk and a lot of speculation that a lot of it had to do with the fact that he didn't want to come to the Knicks because of ownership. That was out there. His team was telling him not to come to the Knicks. I wonder if he looks at it, if he sits back and he looks at the season, and I wonder if he thinks maybe he made the wrong decision. Maybe he went to the wrong New York team. I don't know. Again, I think, and I'm sure even if you're a Nets fan, I think you could understand that there's a different feel and feeling when you're rooting for the Knicks than when you're rooting for the Nets. I think, you know, if you take off your Nets fandom hat and I say this a lot, and I'm not sure how many people are listen to me over the weekend, but you know, this is what makes sports, what makes sports so enticing, so appealing for a lot of us, right? It's the feeling that these teams give us when they win or lose. And when you're rooting for a team whose expectation was next to nothing, to not make it to the postseason, let alone now sitting here in the fourth seed, that's the exciting tingles and how exuberant you feel rooting for the Knicks is very different than the Nets, because the Nets, we expected them to be here. If they weren't here, we'd be like, what's wrong? You've got the best roster in the NBA. Majority of teams have big twos. You've got big threes. What's wrong with you? It's a different feel. It's a different vibe. And I want to believe that the team feeds off of that vibe, whether it's the fan base or just NBA fans in general. And as sensitive as I think KD is, and we know how sensitive Kyrie is that something that he could have fed off of? I want to believe so. And how much more pressure, here's another question. Like, how much more pressure is KD and Kyrie and Harden feeling because of the fact that they all went to the Nets and created this big three, as opposed to KD coming to the Knicks? And I mean, I've sat back and I've also wondered, and I would imagine that there's a few fans out there who've wondered as well, like, what if KD came to the Knicks with this roster, with this team, with this ensemble? How good would they be? You know, would they be better than the fourth seed? Would we anticipating them not only just winning their first series, but really seriously contending and competing for their next? Would the Nets obviously wouldn't not? Would a Knicks team with KD on it be able to contend with Embiid and the 76ers? I mean, there's like, you got like, for me, reel yourself in. Like, there's so many places you could let your mind go and wonder about. Obviously, it's neither here nor there. It's not the situation. We know where he is. It's the Nets. Again, you know, the difference here, and just to sum it up, is the Knicks have already surpassed expectation. For God willing, they beat Atlanta. Oh my gosh. The Nets, they don't win a championship? Season's a bust. A bust. That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. Let's go to Justice in Queens. Justice, you're up. Welcome in.
Hey, Anita, how you doing? How's everything? Thanks for taking my call.
Good evening. Thank you.
Good evening. Yeah. So a couple of things real quick. I want to say, listen, this feel for our Knicks is so organic, right? It felt like we just built this the right way, and we're building it the right way. No quick fixes, no rushing to sign people that's, you know, a little out, you know, out past their prime, and we just went about it the right way. That's what it feels like for me. And finally, we did player development. Like, I've been yearning for years. But I wanted to say one player that I think that I thought would do well under Tibbs, how hard they play and they get a lot of slack, is Russell Westbrook. I think he would have probably worked out with us. But the other thing that I wanted to mention and curious to hear your thoughts on is this. I'm tired of them disrespecting Chris Paul like that. He should be the number one or number two person in the conversation for MVP, not Steph Curry, right? I agree that Joker should be number one. Mary went down. People don't talk about that. And then after that, Chris Paul, like, and no disrespect to Steph, but everybody just get caught up in, you know, the hype about what he do individually, and you should, right? I'm not saying that that's not great, but come on. Like, everywhere Chris Paul went, he won. Like, every team made it to the playoffs. Nobody expected the Suns to be this well, and I feel like he's not getting the recognition he deserves in terms of the MVP, though, right?
But here's why, Justice, because he's a role player, right? Like, it took a minute for him and Devin Booker to kind of work it out to gel. And he then, you know, I was making a ton of money each and every week. Not a ton, but I was making a nice sum of money each and every week betting the over in assists for Chris Paul and the over in points for Devin Booker. So because he's not putting up the points, but yet he's putting up the assists, I don't think he's getting the credit that he deserves. But I think you're absolutely right. We come back. Tyler Fulgham, my partner in crime at Daily Wager, is going to join us. He'll have some picks and some plays for us heading into tomorrow and in Wednesday. Without further ado, Tyler Fulgham joins me now. He's my partner in crime, at least one of them, on Daily Wager. You can tune in every Monday through Friday from 6 to 7. Although, we moved our showtime to 4:30 today. By the way, Tyler, nobody told me.
My mom was not happy about it either. She scolded me on Twitter in front of my friend, Doug Joe.
Why'd she scold? What do you mean? Why'd she? Because you didn't notify her either? Is that why?
Yeah, I didn't tell her that it was on early. The Daily Wager was on early.
So just FYI, I'm home. So normally, you know, I spend, now the weather's nice. I typically, I'll either do a Soul Cycle class, I'll go to the gym, or I'll run 5 miles and go to the gym. You know, I play, you know, I during the afternoon, like, you know, I get my fitness in, and then I really start concentrating on the show around 2:30, around 4:01, I get a text message from Eddie Marlette, our producer. Hey, you know, the show's at 4:30. Okay. Tyler, understand something. I'm a chick. I'm not a dude. I can't just jump in the shower, jump out, and walk out the door. Like, and also, this chick has a lot of hair. So anyway, that's why my hair was slicked back. There was nothing I could do. Like, for me to be on in 29 minutes, there was nothing I could do.
You know what? You look great. You sounded great. And we obviously did a great job handicapping the Chicago White Sox
bet
tonight. So
yes.
So that really matters.
It is. And we both got it at plus money. I got it at plus 101 on the money line. You took the minus 1.5. What did you get? You got it plus what?
Plus 145.
There you go.
Good start to speak as far as units are concerned on the Daily Wager squad, thanks to you and I. And
I love it. And you know... You know, Dougie's going to be really happy. You know, he loves when those best bets come in at plus money. He's so funny.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's dive into it. And let's start with the first game tomorrow. Of course, we're talking 6:30. It's the Hornets and the Pacers. I love the Hornets here. I had Amin Alhassan on earlier tonight, and he was telling me that a lot of fragmented locker room when it comes to the Pacers on top of their injury issues. I know I'm sure Sabonis is going to play, but he's dealing with a quad.
Yeah.
But
right.
Amin really kind of dove into a fractured locker room for the Pacers. To me, man, okay. I mean, I like the Hornets to begin with. Give me the Hornets plus 3.5. What are your thoughts? How are you playing this first matchup?
Yeah, the 9-10 games, I think, are a little harder to handicap than the 7-8 games in both conferences. At first, I thought I liked the Hornets in this matchup, but the more I dug into it, the more I started to pivot over to the Pacers. They finished the season much stronger than Charlotte did. Charlotte lost each of their last 5 games in the regular season. Of course, they had a lot to play for. They won't have their best and most kind of important player with at least experience in the postseason and Gordon Hayward. So you're relying on guys like Terry Rozier and LaMelo Ball and Devontae Graham, who just really don't have that experience in the postseason. And then if you look at the way Domantas Sabonis played in the month of May and helping the Pacers to a 7-3 ATS record, he was an absolute monster. In 9 games, he averaged 23 points, 14 rebounds, and almost 11 assists. He was basically Russell Westbrook-like in the Eastern Conference. It's just that Russ was doing even more spectacular things with his triple-double average this season and breaking Oscar Robertson's record. So I think with Sabonis' massive, massive advantage in the paint, the Charlotte Hornets were actually the worst team at defending opposing centers when it comes to allowing fantasy production. So I expect a big, juicy stat line from Domantas Sabonis, 20 points, 15 rebounds, 8 or 9 assists in this matchup. If that's the case, I think with Caris LeVert coming back, he wasn't on the injury report, I think Indy has a little bit too much firepower for Charlotte. If Gordon Hayward was playing, that'd be enough to swing me to the other side. But they struggled a bit down the stretch with everything to play for, and Domantas has been an absolute beast. So just hope that quad isn't too bad and he can get out there and do what he did for most of the month of May.
So you're on the Pacers side, and also you're on the overs with Sabonis on points and rebounds.
Sabonis, right? Points, assists, rebounds. You know, we like that par bet. I think 44.5 is the number right now. But again, in the month of May, he averaged 48 and change in terms of points, assists, and rebounds. I think I like the under here as well. The Pacers, once they got Sabonis back, started to slow down a little bit, and Charlotte is not a great offensive team, even though we can get some highlights from LaMelo Ball. So I would probably play the under, which I think is 229, if I remember correctly. But I think for most of these playoff play-in games, I'm going to bet the under and wait for the market to try and adjust to the different style we see in the postseason, where the games slow down, possessions are more measured, and referees let you be a little more physical defensively.
Tyler Fulgham joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, you could see both of us on Daily Wager Monday through Friday, 6 to 7, most nights, on 98.7, not on ESPN 2. This is 98.7 ESPN. A little bit later on Tuesday night, 9 o'clock is tip-off. The Wizards going up against the Celtics. I love the Wizards here, and the fact that you can get them on the money line at plus 105. I also like Westbrook over, you talked about it, the par, the points, assists, and rebounds, 50.5. He's just been unbelievable. Celtics, I know they're took 2 of 3 in the regular season, but Jalen Brown, I think a lot of people underestimate just how great of a player he was and what he meant for that Celtics team. He's not going to be available. He's not available for the remainder of the season. He's done. And we talked about this on the Daily Wager show today. At least I mentioned it. Jason Tatum, he's their star player right now. He's dealing with an ankle issue and also was very open and vocal about the fact that he's still not over COVID and he has to use an inhaler now prior to games. So I'm going, this is how I'm playing this. I'm going Wizards money line. I'm going Westbrook over par, points, assists, and rebounds. And I'm going Jason Tatum under 32.5 points. What are your thoughts?
I like those. I think the Wizards win this game as well. I'll take them plus 2 and on the money line. Again, I'm going to attack the under here. This is the highest total of any of the playoff playing games at 232.5. You get open 234.5, so it's been coming down as well as people are starting to think that the games slow down in the postseason. It's harder for me to identify outside of Russell Westbrook and Brad Beal, who's going to give you production on the Wizards side. But on the Boston Celtics side, I think we have an edge here with Kemba Walker. His point total is 24.5, and I would go over that with Kemba Walker in this matchup. We know the Wizards play at a decent pace, and Walker now with Jaylen Brown out is going to get as many field goal opportunities more minutes, more usage, all that that Jaylen Brown used to give you, which was 25 points a game, basically. Most of that opportunity is going to be soaked up by Kemba Walker as the second option behind Jason Tatum. And you're right, Tatum has been very open about what he's been dealing with this season, so Kemba might actually be the better option there. So I'm going to go over 24.5 points with Kemba. You can do I think his points, assists, and rebounds is 33.5, which I feel pretty comfortable with that because in the month of May, in the four appearances he made, he averaged 29.8 points, three games over 30 in those four that he played. Russell Westbrook, as great as he is offensively and as far as padding stats, not known as a great defender either. So a positive or boost in the micro matchup that he'll see Kemba Walker. So even though I think the Wizards are going to win this game, I'm going to go to the for a player prop to the Boston side because I think it's easier to identify where all the opportunity is going to be with that team.
All right, Tyler, let's look forward to Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. tip-off, Spurs and Grizzlies. Grizzlies favored by 4. The over-under is 222. I like this Grizzlies team. I think the Spurs playing a little bit lackluster. They're in a rebuilding mode in the Memphis Grizzlies getting healthier. So I'm on the Grizzlies side. How are you playing this one?
Oh, this one was hard, too, just because the Grizzlies, I wonder if they're just a year away yet. I think they're the better team and the better roster than the San Antonio Spurs, but the Spurs have Greg Popovich, and they have DeMar DeRozan, who will be the best, most reliable, most bankable player with experience that we have on the floor. So those things kind of make this a pass for me. I think the Grizzlies should win, but 4 points is starting to get up there. I'd like to have that in my pocket with Greg Popovich and DeMar DeRozan again. And this is maybe the one game where I would play the over total of 222.5 because Memphis pushes the pace a little bit. San Antonio is happy to play at whatever pace you want to. But this was that one's definitely the hardest game for me to handicap. And it's probably going to be one I end up passing on. But if you ask me to lean, I'd go at the moment. And this is just fluctuating throughout the day, but I'd go over in maybe the 4 points at the Spurs. I don't love it, but that's kind of where I'm at.
Ooh, maybe a bottle of wine is in my future with you, sir. It's interesting that you say that's the most difficult one to handicap because I feel that the Lakers and the Golden State Warriors is the most difficult to handicap. I do. Listen, I understand the Lakers, their defense. Again, we talked about it on Daily Wager earlier today. They've held Steph Curry to 23 points per game, shooting 42% from the field, 34% from downtown. Two things, Curry could get otherworldly at any point in time. I mean, we just saw him put up 44 points his last outing, and you've got LeBron James who's dealing with a retweaked ankle. Now, how severe is it? Again, I had Amin El-Hassan on earlier. Amin said it's not too bad. Like, he doesn't expect it to be too bad. I guess he's reading into the post-game interview with LeBron, and LeBron seemed, very smiley and very giddy. So I guess Amin is reading into that. I'm going Lakers money line. I know it's a lot of juice at -190 because I'm just worried that this very well could be a very close game at the end. Yeah. I'm also going Curry unders here, and I haven't seen those prop bets out yet. But based on statistically what the Lakers and their defense has been able to do and how they've been able to contain Curry, I'm going under on Stephen Curry's prop bets. Curious how you're playing this matchup.
I'm with you, and I think this one is, again, an easier one to handicap because we saw in the postseason the Lakers absolutely dominate the Golden State Warriors. Steph, as you mentioned, did not look like the MVP. 23 points is great for most NBA players, but for a guy who's averaging 32 points per game, and basically 50% shooting and 40-plus from downtown, the Lakers wrecked his efficiency. And Frank Vogel's defense maintained its number one rating all throughout the season, despite the loss of Anthony Davis and the loss of LeBron James. So that's a system that works. It's not just because AD is there. Frank Vogel's a very good defensive coach and has a system that works. Go back to his time in Indiana, and it was the same there. That was a defensive team that was, fighting LeBron James and the Miami Heat oftentimes in the Eastern Conference Finals way back when. So I like the Lakers to – I think LeBron is playing a little possum. I think he is still as bionic as we have been led to believe, and I think we're going to look back after, he's wrecked the Warriors in round one and gotten past the Phoenix Suns in 5 or 6 games in round two, and we're going to go, oh, yeah, of course, LeBron James is still the god, and he's still the best basketball player on planet Earth. I just have a feeling 2-3 weeks from now, we're going to have a lot of talk shows on the sports network saying, was this the greatest run in LeBron's history as a seventh seed and they're in the conference finals or whatever the case may be. So that's just kind of how I think this is going to play out. I think LeBron's going to have a monster postseason. I think AD is going to fall right in line because I wonder if now that he's a champion, he just doesn't care much about the regular season anymore, and we might see him turn it on like we did in that game against, I believe it was Denver or New York down the stretch where he just absolutely dominated. I have a feeling the Lakers are going to come out of the West again, so I think they win this game. I'd go under because both teams are great defensively, the Lakers especially. And I do think the Curry unders on his player props are the way that I would lean in this one. Anthony Davis, I don't think there's anyone on Golden State that can guard him, that can defend him. So his point prop, I would, you know, lean strong to the over on that as long as it's not, you know, in the 30s or 28, 29. LeBron, I wonder if he'll try and create a little bit more while he gets, you know, the feel for his ankle back. And so the assist prop there, I want to take a look at that and see what that is. But I'm expecting an 8, 9, 10 assist game from LeBron James. So I'm with you when it comes to this game. I think it's the easiest one for me to handicap because I think we're going to see what we saw in the regular season, which was the Lakers dominating the Golden State Warriors.
Again, Tyler Fulgham joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Before I let you go real quick, because I've already taken up more than enough of your time, Nets, Knicks, how far do you see the Nets going? I've got them winning the championship. How far do you see the Knicks going? I've got them beating Atlanta.
I got the Knicks beating Atlanta, then bowing out in the next round to the Philadelphia 76ers, and I have the Sixers beating the Nets in the Eastern Conference Finals. To represent the Eastern Conference. So I think the Nets make it to the conference finals, the Knicks make it to the second round, and we get a finals matchup of Philadelphia versus L.A.
That's a Fulgham bomb. That's a Fulgham bomb right here on 98.7 ESPN. Tyler, thank you so much. Please know how much I so appreciate your time, my friend. Thank you so much. Have a great week and enjoy the games.
All right, we'll see you soon on Daily Wager.
You got it. Tyler Fulgham. He's just so fantastic. I love working with him. He's such a wonderful human being and so knowledgeable. So hopefully again, giving you those bets to place as we get into tomorrow and Wednesday, the play-in games. And of course, looking a big picture in what we can expect from both the Knicks and the Nets.
You're listening to Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.